apparently John Morosi talked about the idea of an Emmanuel Class A trade on MLB Network today. I'm just watching this as we go here, and it said he says the odds are against a Class A trade this year at the deadline.
Okay, so I mean ESPN a couple days ago had it at a 20% chance.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying it, odds are against. All right, and now is that because of the belief that this team is in a better spot than they were maybe a week ago? Like because it doesn't feel that way to me.
I cannot tell. I really do think the only thing that could be maybe an obstruction of a Class A trade beyond just you're kind of tangentially in the wild card race is I think it's really hard to drum up a package where somebody's going to give you what you want for him.
I don't know about that. Well, okay, I get what you're saying. From the Guardians' perspective, could they get enough of a haul
yes.
where they're like, this is worth it to me? I just think there's so many teams that need closers, so many really good teams right now that needs closers, that I think there's got to be a robust market for it. And we've talked about the stacked farm systems of some of those teams already.
Like you and I think the Dodgers. And as much as I am loath to give an affordable, dominant closer to the juggernaut in baseball, they're not just a juggernaut on the field. Their farm system is just second to none right now.
Mm-hmm.
And now the only downside of this is I honestly don't know that I like the Dodgers, even in like the Mookie Betts trade. Now I know Mookie only had 1 year of control left. They didn't offer them. They don't often trade the moon for guys.
Yeah.
And so I think that might be the thing that stalls that deal is, whereas the Guardians are known for being incredibly, incredibly, incredibly frugal and picky about trades. Oh, we do have the audio of this, so we're gonna play this in just a second.
Okay.
The Dodgers are also known to be the opposite end of frugal.
Go ahead.
Here's John Morosi on a Class A trade.
I would say right now the odds are still against a Class A trade this year at the deadline, but I want to make this point. His trade value is all the way back. Guardians are one of those teams that are even when they're in at least hold or buy mode, they always keep an open ear because of their financial situation. So again, unlikely that Class A will get moved. But the circumstances do make me wonder if a team is going to overwhelm the Guardians on him. So stay tuned.
So,
That's interesting, though. He said the trade value is all the way back. That's fascinating.
Fascinating and good. We'd like to hear that.
Yeah, well, and that's part of what I was talking about and what we've discussed really over a stretch here is the idea that there are just so many teams, and I keep bringing up the Cubs and the Phillies and the Dodgers, but there's a couple teams beyond that as well that you could throw in the mix and be like, well, first off, Class A would help any team, but right now really do need some closer help.
Well, and he's the ultimate if you make this kind of move, and it's weird, like, if 2 years ago, if you had said, hey, might trade Emmanuel Class A, I know because we had the conversations. It's a near mutiny. Now I think people, and I think some of the water's being carried too much from the playoffs last year, but I think a lot of us look at this and go, well, if he can help you get the things you need in that lineup, just go do that.
I think there's two things at play here. One, yeah, the playoffs didn't help last year. And some people have soured. They've soured on the idea of Class A being as automatic, which is kind of insane because go through any stretch of Mariano Rivera's career, he'd have like, there's always 1 week every single season where you're like, what's going on with Mariano? Now, he only had that once every year, but he'd have it. And then he would walk back in and everything would be fine. But the other part of this is that Cade Smith is just so good. And I feel like people trust him so much to be that guy that I just think it kind of, you almost feel like you just have a gluttony of really strong closing options. And so Class A then just doesn't become the player that he needs to be for you.
Well, I mean, even like Espino, when he comes back, and I know it's probably next year, I don't think he's going back in the rotation. I think they're going to have to throw him into the bullpen. Alomar at Triple A. I know Andrew Walters is hurt. Andrew Walters is another future closer. Like, there aren't many organizations that at any point can have three high leverage guys in their own bullpen.
Yeah.
And then say we might have four or five legitimate guys within a year or two away as well. So, and listen, I think there's an understanding, even like, okay, Kwan, you want to sign him to an extension. Even if Emmanuel was open to an extension right now beyond, I think, the three more years of control he has, you wouldn't do it because he's a closer. At no point in Cleveland are you going to pay $20 million a year to a closer. It just wouldn't make any damn sense.
Well, and so there's a couple things. You got to play with the advantage of the fact that Class A is on that cheap contract and he's under control for a couple more years, and that does matter. And also deal with the idea that, you know, unless you're a unless you're a Wagner, unless you're a Mariano, unless you're one of these all-time, Trevor Hoffman, one of those type closers, most of the time you're just waiting for the closers just to fail you.
And here's the thing. Emmanuel might be that guy.
He might be. So,
but
you get the value you can, though.
But it doesn't change where you're at. And I just, it's so weird because there's just no part of me that wants to be like, prospects kind of might be where you are as you try and, because the one thing that I give the Guardians credit for is they attempted to 4 years ago to go through a full-scale rebuild, but some of their prospects hit soon enough that you had 2022. And even last year, huge step back. They're going to be a 72-win team. Okay, then prospects stepped up. Like, they've never really had to go through a full-scale rebuild. And so I think even trading, whether it's Class A or Kwan or even some of the rental guys like Santana or Lane Thomas, I don't really consider that to be a full-scale rebuild. And it cannot be understated enough. The demand out there for everyday players, starting pitchers, or closers is so strong because there's like three teams that might actually be selling this year, and the Guardians would have the better talent between teams like that and Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Bieber thing, I think you brought this up in the pre-show meeting because we'll get to the Lauder thing in a minute.
Yeah.
The Bieber thing's fascinating. Like Bieber could end up coming back, making a start at the big league level, and you could be asking yourself, oh, is there going to be interest in Shane Bieber at the deadline? Should we make that trade?
I mean, I think now is the time to be having some of these discussions. I think Bieber is one of the names that I don't know why people have been hesitant to bring him up, but he would fall exactly into this category. He's got value. Other teams would take a Shane Bieber. And by the way, the rotation right now for the Guardians looks good. Like you're in a good spot with the rotation that you can get away with selling off a Shane Bieber, getting something back in return. And that now I was with Bieber, I'm talking more about maybe an actual at bat that can help you out this year.
So that's what's so fast. I'm so glad you brought that up. With Class A, you might get a bat who might be tangentially ready, but you're not really sure until you see him in Cleveland. I don't think they're trading Kwan, but if they were to put Steven out there, You're getting a bulk of what you get is probably going to be a year to 2 years away. With Bieber, you could tell somebody hey, you're a team with a surplus of bats. You need an arm. We've got Bieber for half a year. You've got Player X for a couple years of control, but who's maybe just a good player. Let's make that swap. And
for sure,
that would be something that again would not be buying or selling. Would be I do think though a couple more weeks of this, and I think you would be silly not to sell. As much as it's going to upset everybody, I get it. Nobody wants to sell. Yeah, man, you get another Manzardo for Aaron Civale type offer for Bieber, you should probably do it. You know, if somebody knocks your socks off for Class A, you should probably do it.
I think they're going to start looking at some of these things, especially if you get another couple weeks like this. It's such a interesting spot that they're in right now because obviously they're not playing good baseball, but there's so many ups and downs in a baseball season anyway. So you're trying to figure out, is this just one of these down moments in the season, or is these one of these moments that is just going to bear out for the rest of the year and you'll be looking back now and being like, oh yeah, of course this team wasn't very good.
And what's crazy about it is I think this trade deadline is going to set the Guardians free one way or another. I think if you make a couple trades where you're sending guys out, I think it might set some of the young players free from the pressure of trying to win every day, and they might go on a little Tigers-esque run at the end of the next season.
Well, and they can still win this, by the way, in many ways. Like, I mean, if you think about it, if they just start calling up some of their prospects that they already have, you can send a lot of guys out if you start calling up some of the prospects, and we get to see some of the younger players and actually show some infusion of youth and then also something with these at-bats.
Well, in specific to what you just said there, also, you might make the right trade. It might set them on fire.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think the only thing that probably doesn't do anything is doing nothing. I think that's the spot where if you're just like, nah, we're going to run it back. You know, we're going to let Lane and Carlos hit free agency on their lonesome, and we'll see about Shane Bieber. That might be the thing that it's like, okay, no movement might actually be the worst way, because I don't think it'd be the worst thing for that locker room to have some sort of shakeup.
Yeah, inactivity, seems like it's not likely. But we need to then also put in the idea, tiny moves, do they count the same way as well? Like I looked at it yesterday, I was capping out the buyers and the sellers in recent years because it's kind of been a little one-sided, and last year I could only find two teams that didn't make some sort of move of some, and not even consequence, just some move and adjusting their team to the deadline. Like teams are, they are, buyers and sellers are making these little transactions.
So with that said, it was an on-schedule, unintentional trolling of Cleveland Guardians fans that did not stop any of the frustration. Chase DeLauder was out of the Guardians lineup, the AAA lineup last night, and it immediately had people jumping to, oh, is he coming up? Only to find out that was on schedule. He just needed a day off.
Which is common with him. He takes his days off every now and then. He hasn't played four games in a row.
Was last night
going to be his fourth game in a row?
No, I thought he just played four games in a row and then he had the night off.
Oh, I got to adjust that now. He hasn't played five games in a row yet, Nick.
That's true. I mean, it still might be four because my math is very sketchy at this point. I just think...
You think that was a troll job?
No. It was an unintentional troll job. Sometimes troll things just are planned. And it doesn't matter whether they were planned or not. It just pisses people off anyways.
Stinks. I got the excitement attached to it all. And I feel so bad for people. And by the way, on our Facebook page, because we talked about this topic earlier in the show, and it got put up on one of the Facebook things. And some of the comments people keep bringing up, they keep suggesting. And Randy, your guy Randy, by the way, who I'm convinced doesn't listen to the station and only comments on Facebook things now, he commented and was like, well, no, this is the same thing that's been happening for years. They can't bring him up yet because of the finances. And then that's all at play. No, we're past that point. We've been past it for about 10 days now. June 17th was the cutoff. Now we're into the area where it doesn't cost them any money to go ahead and make this move. Like, these are the times that you can bring this up. It's not a matter of finances. It's not a matter of dollars and cents. It really isn't. It's just getting them up here and starting the clock, but it's not based off of this season because of the Super 2 and everything in play.
If I may, I do think there's a defense of the Guardians' actions that I don't think is going to make anybody feel better, but I think one thing I think they're probably keenly aware of is Chase DeLauder is only going to keep Guardians fans happy for so long.
Well, and so I do wonder if they bring up DeLauder, and is a week from now we're just going to be yelling for Brito and Kafis. Like, how long does that excitement really exist and last for Guardians fans? And I just think we live in a society of I want it now, and so like we'll get DeLauder up there, we'll be happy. But how long does that last, Nick? 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, even if he mashes, and he might mash and be awesome, we'll still be like, okay, wait, so that was the right thing. Do you see what he just did for your lineup? What do you think Kafis could now do for the lineup? And we'll just keep, and we should, by the way. I'm not saying don't. We should do this, but we're going to get greedier and greedier.
It mashes as long as, it works, it keeps for Guardians fans, and it keeps them happy as long as he mashes and they win.
Because all you're going to do is tell them and basically tell the Guardians why they were dumb for keeping him down for so long. Like, you see how the Guardians are in a weird spot where they can't really win out of this scenario. Because either he comes up and he's not very good at baseball and they get to do the, well, we were right for X amount of reasons, but then he's not very good at baseball and that doesn't help anybody. Or he comes up, is awesome, and then all the fans say, this is exactly why we told you to bring him up, and this is why you should be bringing other guys up as well.
I think that's a small minority. I don't think there's going to be a lot of I told you so, because I think people are just going to be relieved if he comes up and you're winning.
We live in an I told you so world.
216-474-0092. How long does calling up Chase DeLauder keep Guardians fans happy when it happens in the downside of the Caitlin Clark experience in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan?